Hey, America.
Start listening now.
All right, we've got a lot to get through. What do we need to do here?
14 songs. So in order to save time during the upcoming review episode, we have mashed them all together in 1 5-second clip.
And it sounds like this.
And welcome to another confusing episode of 12 Points from America, the Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, home of heaters that don't work, and John Hamm. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha, and I'm very confused.
And I'm Danny.
Heaters? Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Someone's having housing issues.
It's what we're known for. It's been kind of warm in Minnesota. I haven't needed to run the heater.
We've actually had liquid precipitation falling from the sky.
It's turning into snow. We had false spring, which is a Minnesota tradition.
Yes.
Yeah. And now we're going into second winter, and then we'll have real spring.
Yeah, and Sam and I, we spent our false spring...
In Chicago.
We did.
Yeah. This has very little to do with Eurovision, although more than we expected.
Yeah, this is a pleasant surprise for us.
For a couple of reasons, but we went to Geek Bowl, which is Geeks Who Drinks, like, big championship tournament thing, where people who are very, very good at trivia go and be very, very good at trivia. And
people who are better than us. Or so we thought.
Yeah. We finished second.
Yeah, out of 230 some odd teams.
We won a lot of money. Yeah. It was very unexpected. And
how much Eurovision content was there?
None!
In the quiz itself,
none.
However, we had this super cool chance encounter, and I want to shout out the Euro What podcast. Might be pronounced Euro What podcast? I don't know. But I was at the Art Institute with a couple other people on the team who aren't Sam, and we were in the modern art wing and looking at a couple of pieces by Jeff Koons, who is a real weirdo. And he apparently did a Baroque style sculpture in the early 90s of himself and his wife at the time.
Cicciolina.
Cicciolina, who at the very moment I was looking at it, awaiting the results of...
the Finnish national final.
Yeah. I was going to say, she wasn't in the national final, but a song about her was, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I took a picture of that, and I tweeted it out to 12 Points USA, by the way. Check us out at 12 Points USA on Twitter. And...
within moments.
Yeah, we got a response from this other Eurovision podcast that was like, are you here for Geek Bowl 2? And we were like, Yeah, did we just become best friends? Like, what's going on here? And it turned out they were at a table...
like, three tables away from us.
Yeah.
In this massive hall of 230-some-odd tables.
Mm-hmm. Most of whom we beat.
Yep. They were literally two tables away from us. Folks that we'd never actually met before, even though it turns out one of them is Minnesotan by birth.
Yep.
Yeah. And they also probably had one of my favorite team names of the entire thing. They blended two of the absolute highlights of 2019 for me. Untitled Goose Game and Hatari. So, of course, they were Hankrid Munsigra. So major shout out to the guys over at Euro What. They did exceptionally well. They did came in 20th place out altogether.
They did great.
They did fantastically well.
Yeah, and, super nice guys as well. We're going to hang out in Rotterdam.
Woo.
We made some friends, and Eurovision brings people together in non-Eurovision ways sometimes.
Yep,
that's the moral of
the story.
Of the story. So yeah, that was really, really cool.
It was, and, but that's also the reason why we actually missed a lot of the national final content from this weekend.
Yeah, so. Danny, you're gonna have to tell us what happened.
I saw a movie.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
It's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, what are the rest of our social media?
So I mentioned Twitter, 12 Points USA. Facebook is also the 12 Points USA. Hit us up at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com, an address that I imagine somebody checks at some point. Yeah, please send us lots of emails because we love them. And
I sent my T-Mobile America cell phone bill to that account, so I hope someone's checking it.
No, gotcha. I just purged everything.
Yep. Anyway, you can also go to 12pointsfromamerica.com. That's not really social media because it's just
a website.
But if you like websites, it's a website.
Sure is.
So, yeah, and if you are listening, thank you for listening. If you haven't given us a review on your podcast platform of choice and feel like doing so, we would love to hear from you. And if you give a super cool review, maybe we'll give you a shout out. If you give a really bad review, we'll definitely give you a shout out. No, wait, don't. maybe not. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Is that what this news about a commemorative coin is for? Are we going to be minting commemorative coins for people who review us?
No, but you know who is printing commemorative coins for unclear reasons? Ooh. It's Eurovision!
Yay. Yes.
What will the coin depict?
Eurovision. the Dutch Mint is doing a commemorative Eurovision coin that has the logo on it, and
which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's very expensive for some
reason.
It's
very expensive.
Yeah,
like many Eurovision merch items.
It's worth its weight in hype.
Yeah.
Ooh, Eric, have you gotten your Eurovision socks in the mail yet?
No, not yet. No, I'm still waiting. We'll see. We do have some other big Eurovision news before we get to our 14 songs, which we are going to do one by one, I think. We'll see how it goes. We've got Afrojack. Afrojack is...
He's going to be performing at the final, is he not?
Yes, he is going to be a guy at the final.
Yep, probably doing an original work as well as a blend with some of his older hits. I think he's actually going to be collaborating with a local choir as well, which is not too dissimilar from something that they did in Sweden back in, it would have been 2013. They had Avicii actually create a piece with either Bjorn or Benny from ABBA that was performed by a choir at the opening of Eurovision 2013. So that was a really cool moment. Maybe the Dutch will do something similar this year.
That would be sweet. I assume Alexander Rybak will be involved because he's contractually obligated to be involved in
Mons all, will in be there, it. But it's just because he showed up and they were like, yeah, well, yes.
Whatever you want, Mons. Whatever you want.
Just crack that smile and be like,
yes, sir.
Well, yes, you can have our 12 points any day. Anyway, we also had, we are recording this on a Tuesday evening / Wednesday morning, possibly, and
happy daylight savings, everybody.
Yeah. Ooh, boy. Anyway, delegation meeting happened yesterday here in the past, and
we had some delegations decline to participate.
Yes.
Just due to national restrictions on travel due to COVID. Mm-hmm. But yeah, from what I could tell from some of the people who I'm friends with on Facebook, you know, the meeting went off without a hitch. People had a very good time. They are impressed by the structure and the systems that Rotterdam have in place so far. So I guess we'll see how things develop.
I did see a quote from someone who I assume was important and at the meeting that they have every intention of doing absolutely everything they can to make sure that this event occurs as scheduled and in
as intended.
Whatever way possible. Hopefully things will be a little bit calmed down on on the public health front by then, and that seems fairly plausible.
I think so.
Netherlands has had some cases of the fun virus that everyone's getting.
Hot new virus.
Yeah, the cool new virus that's sweeping the nation.
No, it's not sweeping the nation.
No.
Wash your hands, everybody.
You're
wash.
Just gonna, like, change the Daddy Freyer jumpsuits into just like
have
those.
That.
Yeah, like those suits that they wear at crime scenes. And they're just going to make all of the acts pass through like a Silkwood shower on the way in.
Yeah. I think they'll figure something out. This is a very big thing for them locally. And I was reading that there is a big Formula One race elsewhere in the Netherlands about 2 weeks before Eurovision, for which they spent an exorbitant amount of money to like renovate the track and all of this stuff. So between those two things, the Netherlands is very, very invested in having these things go okay. So.
Right.
Well, viruses have a top speed of about 102 miles an hour. So Formula One's just, they'll get, you know.
They'll just outrun them.
Just outrun it.
Just drive past
them. Drive past the virus.
Yeah. but we'll see. We'll see what develops, but.
Just stay tuned.
Yeah,
we're hearing the news is basically about as quickly as you guys are at home. So.
Indeed. All right.
We have the songs.
We have,
so
we
many
have
songs.
14 more songs. As of recording, we have all but one. By the time this is released, we will have the 41st song from Russia, I believe. It looks like that's going to be towards the end of the week.
Thursday.
It's being delivered by Relay from Vladivostok.
Yeah.
Pony Express is on its way.
With an 8-track.
Yeah.
It's delivered on 8-track. You have to listen to Russia's like 3 previous Eurovision songs before we get to this one.
Do we have to?
Yeah,
we do. We gotta hear
it.
I won't break.
Oh my god. Brought it upon myself, us needing to mention.
Yep. All right. So Russia, we'll talk about Russia when the song is there. But for now, we've got 14 songs. Let's just go alphabetical order. Let's do it. First letter of the alphabet is A.
Austria.
And, yes. We've got Austria, and much like Johnny Five from Short Circuit, we have Vincent Bueno as alive.
I feel like I've been hearing Vincent Bueno's name forever.
It's finally
solidified. We finally have the song How It Be.
It's actually not bad.
It's not bad.
It is upbeat. It is a little funky.
It's very Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
Very, mm-hmm. Mars, Michael Jackson, kind of pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a hell of a dancer, too.
He really is. He's honestly, he's a really good all-around entertainer. You can tell he's got show, like, really good theater experience, but it doesn't come off as schmaltzy.
When he's just got some strong stage presence.
He do. Mm-hmm. He do.
He needs to get together with Michael Gondry, produce a couple of videos.
Ooh, I could do that.
Yeah.
I'd be down for that.
Then again, everybody needs to produce something with Michel Gondry.
No, yes. Literally.
I would do it.
I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make you look great sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
How's this one? Left side of the screen?
No.
Well, I think so.
Advancing?
Advance. I think it'll advance. It's in second semifinal.
Oh, yeah.
That's the grab bag semifinal, yeah. Right?
And it is upbeat. It is engaging. I think it's got a pretty decent shot of doing Austria proud. Assuming he could do things live as well as he could do them in studio.
Good.
My inclination is if it's going to be left side of the table, it's going to be on the low end of the left side. It's going to be somewhere in the middle, I think. It's a solid song. Maybe with the staging and with the right amount of dance moves, that sort of thing, it could work its way in an upward trajectory like Luca Hani or somebody like that, but I don't know that it's that strong of a song.
I think he's gonna get thrown a lot of threes and fours from the juries.
I think I could possibly see that.
Potentially, yeah.
It hasn't gotten a lot of momentum from what I've seen. Like, I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. It's not making a lot of way on the betting odds.
No.
I'm kind of surprised too, because it's a lot more upbeat than most of the songs we have.
Yeah, it's like people were crying out, oh, we need upbeat, we need energy. And here you go, like,
yeah, like this, but not this.
Oh.
Which is a shame, because I think it's really catchy.
I think so, too.
Is this like a Cesar Sampson kind of thing?
No.
Much more upbeat.
No,
it's more
of a bop.
Higher in bopitude.
Nobody but you was a jam, but this is a bop?
Sure. Yeah, I'd say that.
Like Ingrosso?
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right.
I mean, just
invoke the name of the devil here on this
end. Let's move on.
Oh, speaking of...
The devil.
Speaking of
invoking the devil.
Speaking of invoking the undead. Yeah. Azerbaijan, they're here, and they are... I'll say to the listeners, this is the one song that came out this week that I have heard.
Because we basically foisted it upon Danny, whether he wanted
to
or not.
We weren't going to wait on this
one. I have a capital O opinion on this one. I will say, good job, Azerbaijan. I mean, this is an effort. This is a bold choice, but it's a no. I have to say no. This song is too produced. There's too much happening here. It's too much going on, and the televote's going to love it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people are going to go nuts for this. And Azerbaijan, with a song like this, their staging is not going to be subtle.
Last year's staging was bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, watching it again, I'm just like, this is, everything is happening.
Oh, yeah. And that was for, like, a mid-tempo
song.
The part where What's-His-Nuts was Iron Man getting a new hologram heart, and then it flies into the sky.
And the camera's just
like, he's in a,
whipping
like,
around
Disney
and
Channel
editing,
original movie.
Yeah, zooming in and out, and there's, like, CG effects. And
oh, yikes. And it was this bad. Man, last year was just the year of bad CG. We had Victor Crone cruising through what looked like the special effects from Twister, starring Bill Paxton. Absolutely wild. We haven't even dropped the name of the song yet. It's Cleopatra, and it's bad. It's great. It's bad.
It's nuts. It's over the top. It's Azerbaijan.
They do this thing where she's like, and it sounds like this. She doesn't sound like that. It sounded like that was like a Polish deli owner. And it sounded like this. She does this weird thing where she's apparently speaking from ancient Egyptian, but as Eric has told me, it's not ancient Egyptian at all during the breakdown. It's
Japanese.
Like a Shinto
invocation of the Lotus Sutra.
It is a Buddhist invocation. Like Cleopatra would have wanted.
Just like she would. This is just like... like in Disney's Brother Bear, when there was supposed to hold on,
I'm holding on.
Just like in Disney's 2003 masterpiece Brother Bear, when there's like supposed to be like choirs of like Inuit singing happening, but Disney didn't think that Inuit singing sounded exotic enough, so instead they taped traditional Polish singing. And they were like, it's native. That's exactly what this is like. They literally went, oh, this ancient Egyptian probably won't sound ancient Egyptian enough. Let's go to the most Egyptian place in the world. And it's Kyoto. And so I have no idea what's going on. Azerbaijan, I don't know what you did. Can we?
I think they know exactly what they did. And supposedly they got this in a bidding war with another country.
You'll never guess which country. Yes, you will. It's San Marino.
It's San Marino, is it?
Yes, it is.
Supposedly,
the rumors are that there was a bidding war between multiple countries for this song, Azerbaijan and San Marino being the two that have been mentioned most.
I wish San Marino had gotten it.
I do, too. They probably would have done it.
San Marino, I don't know. I don't think it would have been quite... quite the same. Plus, San Marino got a song that's very San Marino, and I'm kind of glad we have that. Not because I like it. We'll get to that in a moment.
Also, the fact that if any country was going to have the budget and the huevos to do a song like this and to do a staging like this, it's going to be Azerbaijan.
That's true.
We don't know what
it's true. Azerbaijan doesn't care.
They're going to carry her out in a sarcophagus, and she's going to pop out in gold.
Somebody's face will melt.
Yes.
Ooh. I can't wait her to mix a variety of exotic cultures. She jumps out holding like a Zulu shield, and she's like,
"Oh god!"
Yeah, she's got like an Incan headdress.
Oh god!
Everyone in the audience is gonna be mildly offended about something.
She's doing poses from like traditional Hindu dance. She's just going all over the place.
Mm-hmm. She's carved into an Easter Island head.
Yes. She's buried up to her shoulders, yeah.
Dressed like Uncle Sam for some reason. Yeah. I will say, I'm going to make a guess that, just putting this out there, they're going to have to do those vocals live, the Japanese part of the Egypt-Azerbaijan song.
Are you sure? Are they going to have to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's vocals. All vocals have to be live.
All vocals, yeah. Okay.
So like,
Lake Malawi, wow, Jesus,
Lake Malawi.
Last year, they just had a girl backstage.
Yes.
Going, I'm only a friend.
Only a friend, exactly.
Yes. And she got to text and say, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they hired a local. They got Lucy to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Aww.
Don't remind me.
I'm gonna make a guess.
Yeah.
I'm thinking black lights.
Yeah.
Cut the lights.
Uh-huh.
And then it's her, and maybe she's not saying it, she's mouthing it like she is in the video, but she has a whole different look during that one weird part,
mm-hmm.
and do some sort of weird blacklight effect.
Like the Bond girls at the beginning of View to a Kill.
See, I hope they do something like that, but my worry is that they tried to do something like that in 2012 with the Voki mit dem Popo by the Trakshitas.
Oh, Jesus.
And they couldn't quite pull it off.
Well, we've had 8 years of the future
exactly.
since then.
I know. So hopefully they'll
be able
to.
It's going to be like Azerbaijan last year plus Malta. Last year, yeah. Just mesh these two together. Yeah.
With the this is going to be UK 2015.
This is going to be absolutely
was that
nuts.
Oh, was that
Still in Love with You?
That was still.
They
had some blacklight stuff in there.
A couple of other notable things about this song that I think people are going to be talking about.
Yes.
One is that it talks about gayness, which is
Greg Blue gayness.
Not. in a way.
Okay.
Azerbaijan's not super big on the whole gay thing.
Generally not.
So the fact that they
speculate on Cleopatra's sexuality.
I mean, it's the first line of the song.
It's the second line of the song.
Okay, fine. It's the second line of the song. And that feels like a pretty big deal.
I agree.
Is it though?
It also feels blunt and inartistic, so
that I also agree with, yes.
Everyone, welcome to the land of Cleopatra. She might have been gay. Here's the rest of the song.
Just like me.
One other thing I saw noted on Twitter about this song, and this is admittedly a bit of a stretch, but it's another layer to the interesting aspect of this song, is that there is a definitely much less well-known historical Cleopatra from around the same time, about the same century.
Like Cleopatra the Fourth, not Cleopatra the Seventh, like that thing.
Something like that. Different line. I don't believe they were related, but this other Cleopatra. Was, and I will again point out that this is Azerbaijan's song. This other particular Cleopatra was a queen of Armenia.
Hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, this is just going to be a wacky, zany misunderstanding. I'm sure they're all going to have a nice big laugh out of this and clap each other's shoulders and freeze frame at the end.
Guys, let's move on to Bulgaria.
I was going
to
say, let's boogie. Yeah.
Well, before we do that, we got to play a clip of this. We absolutely need to do that.
All right, do it.
And it sounds like this. La Cleopatra.
All right, so again, that is Cleopatra. I can't really do the thing.
Cleopatra.
There we go.
That's my Spanish major at work.
It is now time for Bulgaria, land of the Bulger.
Are we going to be rolling ours first? Are we rolling ours for another so that I know?
We could be, yeah. So it's going to be Victoria's tears getting sober.
And
apparently
that's...
it's like Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, or if you're a Californian, it's Lana Del Rey.
I mean, I'm not a big Lana fan. I've never really gotten on that train.
Yeah.
Is this still a palatable song?
I think so.
Oh, it's very,
very
good.
Very, very good.
It's very good. It is, at time of recording, I believe,
still number one
in the betting odds. And I realize that there's a different one every week. And like when we record next week, it's probably going to be the Roop or maybe something else entirely. Or I said the Roop. I meant to say Russia, but it could also be the Roop because they're still up there. Anyway, not important. Betting odds are dumb in March. Let's see. Yeah, this is a really, really well done, authentic, emotional.
Like Lana,
ballad.
Is it? Does it have like a driving beat, but it's still like subdued?
It's subdued. I wouldn't say it has a driving beat. It's a bit more subtle and emotional. I think it's beautifully done. This is a product from the Symphonics cohort, including Lil Victoria herself, but Boris Lavmilanov, who brought us Beautiful Mess and Bones and Nobody But You and so many other awesome songs. So yeah.
Big ones.
Yeah.
I recently saw that he did Dance Alone, the Macedonian song from 2017.
Yep.
That finished 15th in a semifinal. Europe, I hate you.
Staging,
I don't understand this at all.
Staging was kind of a mess on that one.
Eric, they have Chocomel. You don't hate Europe.
That's true. I don't. I love you, Europe.
There you go.
But you messed up. That song is fantastic.
Let's play a little clip of Tears Getting Sober.
Let's do it. I've got some space to grow. Your eyes burn like sugar in my wounds. So
I have sweet bruises. So next on the docket, it's Cyprus with
Sandro.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Running finally got released. It's okay.
It's all right.
It's very dancey.
Not quite as dancey as Cypress's last two efforts.
No, it's not a fuego. I would say it's a more, I don't know.
A little more subdued?
I don't even know that it's more subdued. It's more like traditional Euro dance and not like ethno pop.
Yeah, that would be that.
And it's fine. It does that fine, but it doesn't really stand out. It seems like a borderline qualifier, maybe.
I was when I heard it, I was a little worried there. They're going to miss Greece in their semi, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because that's 12 points gone. It seems like people enjoy it. I don't know if it's going to really bring all the votes in that it needs. We'll see.
We shall see. Semifinal one is going to be... Yeah.
Which is the problem.
I mean,
oh, is this in semi-1?
This is semi-1.
It's not going to qualify.
So I was looking at the semis and I was thinking about this, not to get ahead of ourselves, but I was just kind of wondering, like, okay, well, a lot of these songs are kind of on an even playing field. I mean, there's a few that are slightly better and a few that are not as much, but in general, there's nothing that really stands out. There's no guarantees. And I think a lot of these are going to fall into, do you have friends in here or not, when it comes to voting?
Yeah.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, I that probably doesn't bode super well for Cyprus. If the live vocals are really good and the staging is very memorable, might be another story. But I don't know. This one's just kind of okay.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Hey, look! Look at this next one we've got on the list.
Finland.
Yes. No!
Denmark from Ben and Tan. I assume this is Tan France from Netflix's Queer Eye. Duetting with Ben from Disney's Ben 10. Singing a song called Yes? What an eclectic duo they are.
Yeah.
Okay, who are Ben and Tan?
Ben Tan are a pair of solo singers who became a duo in order to compete for Eurovision. They were
both on season 12 of X Factor in Denmark.
Yeah,
Oh my god, again?
Okay.
Yeah, they were, they got to know each other there. And the rest is history. So Denmark had their national final. They played to an empty arena. Denmark decided to play it a little bit safe because of that hip new virus. And this song won out fairly well. It won from the 2 spot, which is supposedly like the spot of death. Although this is like the 4th national final song to win from the 2 now.
Yeah, I mean, it should be noted that they went from second spot into a 3-song super final.
Oh, did they?
So they were second, and then they went first out of 3.
Ah.
I imagine you saying that in the NBA Jam voice. From the 2!
Yeah.
But yeah, they won that super final very, very handily with 61% of the televote.
I hadn't seen that.
That is
very
decisive.
Impressive.
That is very decisive.
Some Joe Biden numbers.
Yeah. So I have... Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. So anyway, I hyped this song up a lot. I called this out maybe a month and a half ago as a possible winner of the contest if it made it through. I adore this song. It's cute and fun. It's sort of a singer-songwriter. It's very of Monsters and Men.
That sort of
vein about having a fun new love and being excited and feeling hope for the world again.
Should we play a little clip of it?
Yeah, let's do that.
Now I'm ready to give life one more chance. My heart is beating me to death. I've got an arrow through my chest. I'm so in love, I must confess. Say yes, say yes, say yes.
So, one of the things I talked about was staging on this, that I felt like it would be a winner if it seemed like they had chemistry on stage, that they had sort of togetherness to them that evoked Calm After the Storm by the Common Linnet, something like that, where it really just seemed like they're singing this to each other, they mean it, it's real. And I'm gonna be honest.
Do they got it? They don't got it? They could have it.
They could have it. I would say in the national final performance, I don't know if anybody else watched it.
I did.
It's a little bit weird. They start out on different parts of the stage. One of them starts out on
like a satellite stage.
Yeah, like a satellite stage. And then they do end up together. At the end, there's a line, rest your pretty head upon my shoulder, and she rests her pretty head on his shoulder, and it's very nice. And then from that point on, it's about what I was envisioning. But before that, where they're singing about this togetherness, like 30 feet away from each other, it's a little bit weird. And
but that's
I don't
something
know.
That could be worked on. That's something that could be modified and changed. Yeah. I mean, the stage in the Netherlands is going to be very different from the stage in Denmark. Plus
right.
the fact, when you are singing to an empty hall...
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
You can't really play up the emotion quite as naturally. You know,
right.
There's no energy to feed off of.
Yeah, I also want to point out, and I know that this doesn't necessarily matter and they can make it work for stage performance purposes or whatever, but she is 22 and he is 17, which I would not have guessed, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
I also learned Ben of Ben and Tan, his dad is from Madagascar.
Huh.
So we have yet another African country being represented, albeit a little bit indirectly, in this contest. We have a diverse field this year.
We really, really do.
It's awesome.
It's really fantastic this
year. Speaking of diverse fields...
We go to Finland!
Finland picked the male one, and...
Who cares,
You know what? Guys, let's be fair. Let's be absolutely fair. The vast majority of people watching Eurovision in May are not going to have any idea who the national finalists were.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah, and to be honest, the people of Finland did put Axel Kankanranta. I think he's just going to go by Axel.
I hope
song,
so.
And the song Looking
is.
Back.
I hope he goes by Kankanranta.
But anyway, yeah, he Erika Wickman's Cicciolina, the song that we kind of referenced earlier on in the show, came tops in the televote, 99 points. Axel was very, very close behind with 94 points. Third place in the televote went down to 77 points. So it was pretty darn close. It was really a jury vote that kind of put Axel over the top, and that was decisively in his favor. The vast, vast majority of people watching the show in May, they won't know anything about Cicciolina, either the real person or the song.
Yeah,
They're going to hear the song, a very capably performed male solo artist, and they'll judge it on its own merits. They're not going to do it in the lens of what could have been.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's only fair to him.
Yeah, that is fair. I understand the anger that some big, big fans of Erika Wickman and Cicciolina have towards this. But his song, what is it actually called? Is it Looking Back?
Yeah,
Looking Back. It's a pretty good song.
I agree.
And I feel like I'm going to keep asking this. What semi is this in?
2.
Okay, so I could see this maybe getting through. He's got a good voice.
Great voice.
It's a solid song.
Feels very modern.
Yeah, the dialogue right now is about this latest in a string of mysterious robberies happening across Europe that that Cicciolina didn't get through, and at least I was upset that Bananas didn't go through.
True.
I enjoyed the heck out of Bananas. Live performance, by the way, was exactly what I was hoping for. It was entirely Bananas and Spice Girls-ish.
Cavendish or a bit more Gros Michel?
Gross Michelle.
Ooh.
Yeah. But yeah, I hope that this kid, how old is he? I don't know how old he is.
I think he was born in 98, which would make him 22-ish.
21, 22. I really hope that he's treated well in the contest and that there aren't a lot of things about songs that aren't his, things that are, that sort of, I don't know how likely that is to happen, but people seemed especially angry at this result. I worry about that a little bit. Maybe that's unfounded.
I don't think he's going to face that. I mean, honestly, in my experience in a press center, people who go to a press conference to ask questions or interview an artist one-on-one, they're not asking about, oh, why aren't you Cicciolina? Mm-hmm. They're asking about maybe the experience of the national final, something like that, or, you know, how did it feel to be an underdog, but not necessarily, oh, you're not person X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. I mean, no.
Okay. Well, yeah. Good. Yeah. Good.
I mean, they treat the song in their own merits.
We live in an age of misdirected anger, I guess is all I'm saying, and right. I hope that this is not a case where that's something that we run into.
I agree.
So, Axel with
just
Axel.
All right, should we play a little clip of it?
Yeah, yeah. You know what?
Let's give him his due.
He's earned it. Yeah. Let's go, Derek. Again, that was Axel. He has no other names with Looking Back. And next we move on to Ireland, who has decided to send... I couldn't remember her real name, so I wrote Katie O'Perry.
Katie spelled C-A-I-T-Y.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
See, A Story of My Life by Leslie Roy is the actual song. It was released on March 5th. It is a upbeat little slice of early 2000s pop. Mm-hmm. Super catchy.
Mm-hmm.
Is she going to go the way of Sarah McTiernan?
No. Very different.
This is going to be much better?
Yeah,
this is much better.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, okay.
She's actually a very experienced singer and songwriter. She's actually been living in LA for the last couple of years, doing a lot of songwriting for a bunch of actually pretty big names, including Adam Lambert, Medina, who's a Danish act, and some other really pretty solid names. So she's kind of cut her teeth as a songwriter, had a couple of singles in her own maybe about 10, 15 years ago. They selected her internally this year with this really upbeat, very positive, kind of defiantly happy song. It's got a hook. It's got a great hook.
It does. It feels fun, and also it does kind of feel dated, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, though. I can't decide if it feels dated or fresh, I guess, is where I'm at with it.
I was thinking, the reaction I think in general was, it's Katy Perry circa 2008. Like,
yes.
It's early Katy Perry.
Extremely.
And yes.
Which is still fun,
but it also kind of makes you think, didn't this song come out 12 years ago? I worry a little bit if people hear this, I mean, like, it's a new song, and it's got this style, but people might hear it and think, this feels... Mm-hmm. A little old.
Yeah, I think it's been an interesting contrast to see the reaction to Serbia, Hasta La Vista, which is also very much like a 2000s girl power throwback sort of thing. People seem to be really into that. Maybe not quite so much into this, even though...
Because honestly, Ireland is always underrated. Or
true.
Has been recently underrated, I should say.
Yeah.
So people are more likely to look at the three pretty Serbian girls, including a face that Eurovision fans already know in Sanja Vucic.
But also, too, the Serbian girls are famous in their own right.
Yes.
Whereas she's kind of an up-and-comer songwriter. I'd never heard of her. I don't know if a lot of people would have at this point. So sort of an unknown.
Yeah.
I hope this does well. I'm going to ask again, what's I should just pull up the sheet, but what semi is this in?
Ireland is in semi-1.
Oh, that's going to be a rough road then, which is too bad. Because this is the best thing they've sent in...
Quite a few years.
Yeah. I what's the one from 2018, the qualified...
Together?
Together, yeah.
Very different, but...
Solid. Yeah.
But that's, I think, what happens when you take a singer and a song that is self-composed, and this is at least partially self-composed, that Leslie did have a very strong hand in the creation of the song, so there's a little bit more personality and integrity to it instead of just singer plus song squished together.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, yeah, that should work in her favor, I think. It is just going to be a bloodbath of a semi, though.
We shall
see. Best of luck to Katie O'Perry on on her performance. What do we got next? The letter after I is M, and that puts us in
Malta. Another song by the Symphonics team. We see Borislav Milanov, as well as another bunch of very familiar names, including a surprising name, Bernarda Brunovich, who, like, the name was bouncing around in the back of my head for some reason. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. She actually participated in the Swiss National Final in 2011 with a song called Confidence. Didn't do exceptionally well, but she was a very talented singer.
Should have had more confidence.
I believe it was
all a trick.
So she's part of the composing team for All of My Love for Destiny Trucconiere. Who I think is just, again, going by just Destiny.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. She's just...
It's a better name. Now that she's an adult.
Destiny.
It's going by their first names here. Ben and Tan and Axel and Destiny.
It's like
and
WWE. Fossil. You just get the one.
You just get the one name.
Ironically, Azerbaijan is going by the last name.
Oh,
she's
I
not
see.
Samira Effendi. She's just Effendi.
You like, only get one, though.
You only get one.
You only get one.
Effendi.
You have to pick one.
Yeah. But yeah, Destiny's All of My Love. Mm-hmm. That is a solid, modern soul pop track that features into her voice so well. I was really concerned when they were going to compose a song for Destiny that they were going to give her something that was... That just didn't fit, like, you know, something too old for her or something too young for her, which, you know, could have easily gone the other way.
How old is she?
She is 17, but she sings like somebody significantly older.
I was worried they're gonna give her an Aretha Franklin-esque song that would work but also be kind of dated.
Yeah,
and this is very modern.
Yeah And honestly, her song for Junior Eurovision that she won with, Not My Soul, was very, very Aretha.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's had a couple of years to grow and mature, and people in the Eurovision sphere who know who this singer is, they want to see her take that next step.
And
so,
she did.
Oh, she
that
did.
That was a relief.
Yeah, this is outstanding. This immediately shot into my top two or three of the year. We talked a little bit about how, because there are this small handful of weird songs, that if the weird vote gets split, something else unexpected could rise to the top. And when I listen to this song, that's kind of what I see. Mm. I think this has a really legitimate shot at being it.
If they stage this well, and if they have her in the right spot in the running order, I could easily see this taking it.
It's an outstanding song.
She should absolutely be proud of what she's serving up.
Mm-hmm.
I think Malta does a decent job with their staging.
Generally so, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I forgot to tag this when we were talking about the composition team and the folks over at Symphonics. One of the composers listed here, Caesar Sampson.
What a good choice for something like this. Soulful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
He seems like a good coach for Destiny in this context. I'm not saying that that's what's happening, but if it was, good job!
I mean, honestly, the team from Symphonics tend to be pretty well connected with their artists. They do really seem to care. I mean, we saw this with Chris Kostov in 2017, that they don't just, you know, throw the song at them and kind of let them flounder. I think Borislav Milanov really does take an interest in the song that he's putting out there. And that's the whole team.
When
cares.
You see him backstage, he does multiple songs. Mm-hmm. He's at every rehearsal. He's taking notes. He's all over it.
Yeah.
Even afterwards, he's like talking to everybody on the team and getting feedback and information and kind of delegating. He's like a one-man show. It's kind of insane watching him work.
And he's got three songs in this contest?
I believe so.
Bulgaria, Malta, and Germany?
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Wow.
What's the German song?
Violent Thing.
Oh, that's right.
Dance You Well. It's not like that at all. Did we throw to All of My Love? And if not, can we please do so?
Let's do so.
All right. Here's All of My Love from Derek.
I am free to live, so I give you all of
That is Destiny Trucconiere with All of My Love from Malta. This one is going to be up there.
I hope so.
I very strongly believe that it will be. Let's see. Next up, we have the host country.
It's the Netherlands, and their artist is someone whose name I have sworn off making fun of, because I've already done it enough. Sam, what's his name?
Jean-Gu McCroy.
That's it.
Yep.
From the clan McCroy.
Derek picking up the
name.
I see. Yeah, so March 4th, Jean-Gu released Grow, a very beautiful, introspective, soulful ballad dealing with topics of mental health and confronting the demons within and growing from them. And it's really beautifully done and a topic that deserves to be mentioned and deserves to be highlighted. So major props for going in this direction. Also, something that we do know, this is the only song so far that we know where they will be in the running order. The host nation does randomly select its spot in the running order. It'll be performed in the 23rd slot in the final.
That's a very, very nice spot for them, by the way.
Yeah, so...
That's going to be interesting.
It's going to be very, very
good. Yeah, I'm curious to see which of the high-end bops is... 26. Yeah, 26. I'm curious to see which of the high-end bops is going to be right after it.
And before it.
Yeah.
Yeah, how they're going to sandwich that.
Might be a boost for those... the countries around it as well. Not because this is bad or anything, but because it's just going to
give them some energy.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't deny the energy of a hometown crowd listening to its hometown entry, though.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that is going to be a palpable increase in energy and vibe.
I don't know that I've ever heard a Eurovision song from any year quite like this.
Nice to see them take their opportunity of usually being like, as the host country, like a sure bet not winning. Mm-hmm. And then just taking that opportunity to do something really special with it.
I think for a lot of countries the right thing to do is send a song that is very good but won't win, and I think that's probably what this is. It is a hard song for me to describe. It doesn't really sound like anything else Eurovision or not to me. Lyrically it is really powerful. There's a line in the chorus that says, "I'm getting older and it ain't what I thought it would be," which I think rang true for pretty much everyone who's heard it to this point. But it's a song about having hope and finding that path and, you know, working things out. And
then the music video kind of all brought it together as well, with images from his childhood and images of loneliness, and then ending and transitioning to him in a support group.
Which
you don't see, that vulnerability. And it's so, so vitally important that we discuss this and that we bring it to the forefront. And whatever the scoreboard has for Jungkook in May, this deserves attention and this deserves respect.
I could see this just about anywhere.
Agreed.
On the scoreboard. It's so hard to say.
I'm worried some people are going to get it, or they're not going to think to vote for it, even if they really like it.
But I could also see the juries going absolutely nuts for it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of jury stuff though, this year.
I know. Which
will be interesting. I think the vote's going to be very split, but we'll see.
I think so too. I have no idea where we're going next year.
I think for this one, I just want to say musically, this song is really fascinating, because as I was listening to it, I was constantly surprised at the next thing.
Yeah, it's very interestingly structured. Mm. It has almost a free, almost jazz-ish flow to it. It has verse-chorus, but not in the way that, I don't know, like Bananas.
Very unconventional structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It starts out really slow. And I remember the beginning thinking, oh, what's this going to be? But it builds.
Would you say it grows?
Yes, it does.
Oh, I see what you did.
But the way it grows, it's not parabolic. It's very linear.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of takes you along with it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's not a huge leap, which I like.
It is a really fascinating piece of music and something that we haven't really had before. If this wasn't the host song, would we be talking about it as a potential winner?
I don't know.
I would
want to, but I would be constantly trying to second guess myself about it.
The
songs like this, I think, are sometimes kind of a hard sell. I guess it depends on the mood of the year. Like last year, we had a very emotional ballad that I think people were looking for.
Yeah, this is the kind of song that some people would say, oh, it's too good for Eurovision, which I hate that line, but it's what people will often say.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a song that doesn't necessarily fit that quote-unquote Eurovision mold, but is something really special and elegant in its own merits.
It's definitely very much outside of the stereotypical Eurovision mold, but oh my goodness, it is so good.
Yeah,
and we are lucky to have it as part of this, and I hope it gets through to people for mental health reasons, but also through to music fans who maybe poo-poo Eurovision a little bit, being like, this can be more than that. It's kind of how I feel. We were talking about this a little bit when we were in Chicago, Sam, about Hooverphonic. That song is so gorgeous and symphonic and moving, and I worry about it doing well in Eurovision because it's so far beyond what Eurovision quote-unquote is.
Right.
But again,
the contest is growing and changing, and every song has a place.
There's a lot. I think there's a lot of that this year, though.
Yeah,
I feel like there's a lot of songs that aren't part of the conventional mold.
Mm-hmm.
People worry or might observe as not competitive.
Yeah, this is a really fascinating group of 40, 41 songs that we have this year.
Agreed.
We really, really, really do. There are some things that are very, again, dumb phrase, but very Eurovision, and we have a lot of things that aren't, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Let's play a quick clip of Grow.
Don't take it personally, don't be offended, don't mind my mood, changing like the weather.
Enough with the host country stuff. We've got North Macedonia.
Uh-huh.
The northernmost Macedonia there is. And I don't remember what the deal is with this. It's called U, mm-hmm. right?
By Vasil Karvanliev, or I think he's, again, just going by the mononym.
Vasil.
Yep, it was released on March 8th. That is a upbeat dance number, but almost like a tango kind of feel.
Kind of, yeah.
Ooh.
Really very elegant. I'm trying to remember what it reminds me of. It almost reminds me of, and this is not going to be a favorable comparison per se. I mean, this song is better than what I'm about to compare it to. There was a song for Hungary, and I want to say would have been 2007, 2008. Called Dance With Me. Did not qualify for the final. It was a little bit cheesy. Technically, it was an internal selection. It was like the third choice for the internal selection that just kind of fell through over and over again. If you go back to our episode on internal selections, I think I brought this song up. But this seems like a more modernized, fun, higher-end version of that. I think his voice is better. I think he's got a great range. It's very engaging. It's a lot of fun. And the video kind of reminds me of the one from Dirty Dancing last year.
It does seem like it's set in the same
like, bar. Yeah, wherever that bar is, I want to go and have a drink.
Yeah, that seems like a fun place.
Ooh, yeah.
It'd be obnoxious.
I appreciate the...
Everyone's dancing all the time.
I appreciate the response to the music video. It just in that the whole thing, there's sort of a story being told where he's at this bar and there's a woman he wants to dance with. She's the you in the song.
Ooh,
you.
The me and, is her?
That's right. Yeah.
Ooh, what a trip.
And that immediately upon this thing's release, Eurofans in general were shipping the singer and the bartender.
oh, yeah.
And not,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, we know who he really wants to dance with here. This feels similar to me to something like Cyprus or like Austria that's just kind of not bad, but also just kind of there. It feels just a little bit middling. But it's a nice song, and this is definitely an opportunity to stand out a bit with some cool staging. Maybe get that bartender on stage.
Maybe he should do like calisthenics and acrobatics, like the bartender and Never Gonna Give You Up.
Ooh. Yeah. Wonder what he's doing nowadays.
Calisthenics mostly.
It's been 40 years.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No more. next is Portugal. Do you have the same opinions? Is this not a winner?
It's not a winner.
This is not a qualifier, no.
Is this... The Ooh. Thing is...
wow, guys, you're harsh as hell. We haven't even said the name of the song yet.
Doesn't matter.
What is
hey.
It? What is it? What is the name of the song?
It's Medo de Sentir, Fear of Feeling by Elisa.
Okay. Just one name again.
One name
yes,
again.
Elisa.
Mm-hmm. Elisa.
Is Elisa just boring, or is it that she's not going to win in the same way that Telemovish was never going to win?
This is
could have had a,
yeah,
had a real chance.
Yeah, Telemovish was one of a kind. This is a little bit more standard, solid, straight-ahead pop. Or straight-ahead pop ballad.
Oh, they're doing a ballad.
A ballad.
This feels very, like,
Portugal's never going to dance you off.
Portugal song. Like, this is the kind of thing that we're sending up until then.
It kind of
And not
does.
Really getting anywhere. And it felt kind of sad listening to it, like, you guys, you're on the right track.
Better or worse than, like, Au Jardim.
Different.
Less modern. Okay.
I think this is a little bit more timeless, I guess. I think Au Jardim was very, very modern.
Okay. What is this? Is this like a song you're slow dancing to at prom?
Kinda.
A bit more heartbreaky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm working on the lyrical content here, and I speak the language you guys don't yet. So, yet.
Yet? Yeah. What's,
my God.
Is that a threat?
U.S. is going to be invaded by Brazil.
Hey, you know what?
You get sent to the re-education camp.
Fine.
I, for one, welcome our new samba-ing overlords.
Should have said that in Portuguese.
This will make you... No. No, I understand the song is very understated and very subtle, and it's in Portuguese, which I believe it will be one of only three songs in that semifinal not in English.
Hmm.
So it could stand out in that way, but it's also very subtle. And I think it's elegant. I think it's not quite enough, which is a shame because I love Portugal and I'd love to go back. But...
It's a very nice song, but yeah, it's going to have a hard time standing out, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we've made it to the last letter of the alphabet, which is S.
Granted, we have three representatives with S's.
Yeah. The first is my absolute favorite, and it sounds sounds like San Marino is San Marino-ing again this year. I have not seen it yet, but Eric tells me only great things.
That is not what I told him.
This is not Serhat, but Senhit?
Senhit.
Okay.
That's how I read it.
Gonna get freaky.
She is gonna get freaky.
Okay.
Senhit is actually a returning artist. She sang for San Marino in 2011 with the song Stand By. If I remember correctly, she was actually the first Eurovision artist that I ever met.
Oh!
Because the San Marinese delegation used to hang out at like the table next to the table that I was sitting at.
Oh,
so
like
I got to meet
table.
Her.
I was going to say, did she lean over and ask if you were going to, like, eat your Twinkie? Just, like, I'll trade you for my bologna sandwich.
Which is funny, because she's from Bologna.
I hate this. Every time I want to make a joke,
it's
Sam
like, well,
is there to
actually,
go, actually.
Oh, you know what? I'm having fun. And bologna puns are just aren't enough, you know.
Okay, so
moving on.
Explain to me exactly why this is such a weird song.
It's just fun.
It's just... Okay.
It is a fun song that is not very good in the way that Say Na 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 is. It feels very San Marinese to me, and
yeah.
I don't really know how to explain that sentence I just said.
When I hear this song, am I just going to go, oh, that's San Marino?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. Disco, like neo-disco in the way that...
yes!
Bright, vibrant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Yeah. We will note
lots of
that
dancing.
It's an old recycled Old Navy commercial.
Actually, it is. Yeah,
again? I'm so glad.
That's
San Marino
really,
gonna make a one-day sale commercial? This is good. All right.
Leave it to San Marino also to have a public vote national final
on
like 24 hours notice. Like,
by
the way,
hey guys, you're all gonna be voting.
This is the singer. Here are two songs. You can be freaky or pick freaky or obsessed. So the two things you expect the most from the most serene republic of San Marino.
See, and the population that you have to all corral into voting for you is like, 40,000 people? I think they're fine.
30, I think. It's 30. It's about a Roseville, Minnesota.
I was going to say, it's the population of New Brighton, yeah.
The vote was open to everybody. I voted.
Yeah, I voted.
Yeah.
I voted for,
oh,
I voted for the
vote.
Other one.
All I voted right. for Freaky. So really, this is my fault.
The only vote I've cast is for the checks.
I did see, I guess she had a blog post or something like that that she does regularly where she talked about the results. And apparently it was quite close. Freaky had 52% and Obsessed had 48%. Mm-hmm. I'm going to apologize to our listeners in Britain. I know that percentage ratio is not your favorite.
Oh.
Moving on. Freaky. And with that, Sweden.
It's so catchy.
Sweden.
Yeah,
Sweden.
Sweden.
Let's Sweden.
Sweden.
Let's moving on.
Yeah.
Mamas don't need their papa.
No.
It is Move, which I assume is borrowed from the Ludacris song.
Yep.
They have beaten out, what is this note here? By one point, they beat Laser Boobs.
That's true. They did.
Yeah. One single point. Closest margin that I think I've ever seen at Melody Festival. Beating out Daughter's Bulletproof featuring Laser Boobs.
Basically, she was
close.
Yeah, I feel like we have said Laser Boobs like 100 times, but haven't explained what it means.
What is actually happening here?
So
well, we're never going to see it.
Basically, she's wearing like a disco ball top.
Sure.
Almost.
Mm-hmm.
And basically walking in and out of different colored lights and causing...
Pew,
yeah,
pew,
yeah.
Pew.
It's for something that is relatively simple, I thought it was quite inventive of an idea.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
You seen Laser Boobs before?
Exactly.
Okay.
SNL that one time, but that was it.
Laser Cats.
Oh, that's... Yeah,
oh,
okay. Shout out to John Lundvik for being the weight that was cast off here. But also...
It's like on Naruto, and that one character takes off his ankle weights, and now he can run real fast.
Yeah. If
John Lundvik is the ankle weights from Naruto. That's it. Quote
okay.
me on that.
All right.
That'll be the name, title of this episode.
If the Mamas are a baseball player in the on-deck circle, John Lundvik is that weird donut that
you put on the bat. The little thing that they put on the bat. Yeah.
That makes you stronger.
John Lundvik. He's the bat donut.
Yeah.
Moving
anyway.
On. It's Switzerland now.
Well, hang on.
No, it's Switzerland.
I will say, to his credit, noted bat donut John Lundvik handed off the Melfest trophy to the Mamas.
Oh, that's really sweet.
In the way that Hatari handed the trophy off to Dottie Freyr. Yeah, the greatest moment in human history. Back to Sweden. He basically was bowing down to the Mamas as he handed over the trophy, and it was a very fun little moment.
You can tell there's a lot of love there.
There is. There is. And to be clear, bad donut at otherwise, John Lundvik seems like a decently nice guy. Please don't kill me.
Please don't at me.
Yeah,
he's just an awful songwriter.
You could at Derek.
At Derek.
Yep, at Derek about that.
Pissing off all of Europe this
episode. At Derek, not on Twitter.
Oh, fine. Yes. Then vote for the for France this year and tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, that's right. He wrote Tom France.
Yeah.
I was going to say vote for the UK, but that was last year.
Also, fun fact about the Swedish entry, 1/3 of the mamas is actually American.
Yeah. America.
Ashley Haynes is from Washington, D.C. Hmm. And Lulu Lamotte is,
believe it or not, is not the most American of cities in America.
What would be?
Like Branson.
St. Louis.
Detroit.
All right.
Blend all those three together in a smoothie, and that's America.
Mm-hmm.
St. Branson, Detroit.
Nacho cheese flavoring. And
yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So that. Switzerland, guys.
Oh, yeah, Switzerland.
How can you go to Switzerland when Derek says Switzerland?
Because we like Derek more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we got out what he needed to.
Yeah.
All right, we do move on to Switzerland with John's Tears singing Respondez-moi.
First off, John's Tears.
Respondez-moi.
This guy looks exactly like a guy who goes by the name John's Tears would look. Like, I'm not kidding. I'm actually going to bring up a picture of this guy for Danny because I want to...
I can see.
Yeah, just so he can kind of confirm.
This whistle is in French. I'm prepping myself for what John's Tears... Oh, what? No, okay, the problem is he's cute. But is he also goes by John's Tears.
Well, his name is actually John, like G-J-O-M, which is an Albanian name.
But his last name is definitely not Tears, though, is it?
No,
it's Kaczynski.
If I walked up to this guy at a party, he'd be like, hello, my name is John. It's spelled G-J-O-N. And I'd be like, okay, that's cool. And then he went, I play music. And then he hands me a jewel case that has that face on it. And it says John's Tears on the bottom. I go, all right, well, is there another party I can go to? I have to leave this house. He's probably a very nice person that I can't wait to hear the song.
Yeah.
Is it fine? Is it good?
It's elegant.
It's very good.
Oh, is this
very good.
Switzerland following up on Luca Hani with another...
Totally
with another,
different.
But another solid...
Oh,
yes.
Extremely.
Okay. Nice.
Extremely.
Yes.
Could very well be headed for another top five.
Yeah?
Yeah. But, like, using a completely different route to get there.
Mm-hmm.
This is a French language, emotive, delicate little ballad that is super introspective.
Yeah.
Mm. And he does not speak French, but he can sing in French.
He does speak French.
Is that?
He does speak French. He's of the French...
Some Swiss guy doesn't speak
French. Yeah, he's from this French-speaking part of Switzerland. I believe he's actually from near Gruyere, which is like the tastiest part of Switzerland, too.
Mm.
Oh!
I've been to Gruyere, actually. It was amazing.
Everything's made of cheese.
It is! It's wonderful.
In addition to looking like a guy who would go by John's Tears, I would say this song sounds like a guy who would go by John's Tears.
Mm.
So, Danny, whatever you're imagining, that's basically
I'm
what
imagining
it is.
That terrible song from, like, 2007 that was like, in this coffee shop, and you know that one? You
no.
know that song? But
no,
the guy
I don't.
Was like, I never knew I'd live away. At this coffee shop. You know?
No,
people
no.
out there are going to know what I'm
no,
talking about.
I,
that terrible
wait,
song about a coffee shop that
up.
People would be in coffee. Either that or it's Daniel Powder's Bad Day.
Oh,
that's
no, it's
no,
it's,
okay. don't insult John and his tears like that.
Yeah.
Don't insult John
I also
and
just,
his tears.
I also just feel like the name John's Tears reminds me of Cars Jeans.
playing in the
arena.
Cars Jeans
yeah.
arena. It's John's Tears.
Yeah. It just there's a jingle that just pops in my head that's like, when you need some tears, for John's Tears. I don't know.
Okay.
That was the last song that we had to cover. I'd love to hear this one.
Yeah?
Is this
yeah.
one? How is this?
Let's
give them a listen while I listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just him.
Oh.
Just him and his tears. Pas de langue de bain, répondez-moi.
Okay, that was all 78 songs that were released in the last week.
We got more. We have more.
Just a little bit more. You know we've got revamps to talk about. Alexander revamps. First, a big rest in peace to Shy by Ari Lennara. It is no longer called that. Shadge has been changed to Fall From The Sky. And did it ever.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is a bummer.
So this is a bad revamp.
Changed from Albanian to English.
Which we knew they were going to do.
Uh-huh. But also, I think, just in terms of lyrical content and meaning, it took several steps down. There's a really powerful bridge in Shy that's just gone now.
Oh, for really?
Yeah.
Like, just the instrumental...
Yeah, with
the strings.
Cool string part, and then like Shy punctuating lyrically a couple of times. But it's very simple, and it's gone. The melody line at the start of the chorus is a little bit different, and I think it's worse now. I don't know. I don't get this. And I will say it is still quite a nice ballad.
Oh, true.
Probably one of the better ballads of the field. If this was the only version of it we'd have heard, I wouldn't have any complaints. And that is going to be the case for a lot of people, like we were saying about Axel, what's his name, with Finland Town.
Axel Kevorkian.
Yeah, that's right. And so I think this song still has a shot at doing fairly well, could potentially qualify. But as someone who really liked Shy, it bums me out a bit.
Yeah, it's just not quite the same.
Thankfully, as disappointing of a revamp as it was, a couple hours later, it became not the worst revamp of the day.
Oh, no.
When Benny Cristo
released the Crime app.
Crime kind of happened. Revamped K-Mama. And I can't remember where I read this. It was either Twitter or Reddit or something like that. So shout out to whoever's opinion this is. That basically, a lot of the criticism of K-Mama was that the vocal line was fairly boring and monotonous. So you would think in the revamp, that's the thing they would change, right?
Yeah. Wrong.
Wrong. They changed literally everything else. It is so busy now and just weird. And maybe it'll work better live. It probably will.
They're just like rebalanced. They added instruments that didn't necessarily need to be there, and it's doing this sort of counter rhythm, getting very distracting and very, very busy.
It sounded like when they recorded it, and I'm assuming that this is what they did, the vocal track is exactly the same, and then they added more instrumentation to it, and it just sounds completely disconnected.
Ugh.
And I remember listening to it thinking, God, I hope this sounds better on stage when he's like actually with the music.
Yeah.
And it might be a marked improvement live, but just the recording they released, I'm like, you guys should have gone back to the studio.
You did not need to do this. No. It's like they read the thing about the Coco Chanel remove one accessory thing, except they didn't quite understand it.
They went, Coco Chanel didn't know anything. She's dead.
Oh,
and then they just put more things on.
kind of feels like it.
Well, they just put more things on his existing outfit. They didn't have him remove his clothing and put on a different outfit.
Yeah.
Oh, yuck.
Let's see. We've got Romania. This one kind of is out of the blue.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting them to do any sort of video.
Yeah, so this was Alcohol You.
I see. Yes.
And I thought that this, the original version that we heard was lacking a little something.
A little punch.
Yeah. Not that it should be a bop, be turned into an upbeat Carly Rae Jepsen sort of thing, but just that I don't know, it just needed a little bit more liveliness. And that's,
did it get it?
It did. It basically just had a little more punch here and there. And yeah, a little more dynamic over the course of the song and so on. And I definitely like it a bit more now that they've touched it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on there. I mean, it needed a little bit of a lift at the end. Not necessarily a key change or, you know, a call for a fire curtain or anything like that. But it's...
They have one now.
It's a bit more of a climactic end, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Instead of just kind of tapering out quietly, it's a bit more of a punch.
Drum rolls and a cymbal crash.
Shaven haircut.
Yeah. It's the same song, but just the end is just dee 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 dee, and then they sidle off. Someone takes out the
big giant hook
and then yanks him off. Yeah.
Alcohol You. Backstage.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And how is Ukraine? Ukraine got a revamp too with solo.
It's very, very slight.
Very subtle.
Honestly, it almost just feels like they mixed it again or something like that.
Just had Lil Jon yell in the background.
Solvay!
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah!
Yeah!
Solvay!
Yeah. So, I don't know that we need to pour any ones out this week. There are definitely things to pour ones out for, but this has been going for a bit, and I feel like maybe...
We mentioned all the songs we're saying. Yeah. Didn't go through.
I think we could probably do an entire episode just on ones that we could pour out to, and I think maybe
we will.
Yep.
Yeah,
Second, our viewers should just imagine we're talking about all of the songs that we have wept over.
Mm-hmm.
For 1 second, imagine Sarah McLachlan's Angel playing in 1 second, starting right now. That was great. That was really moving.
That's really, that's powerful.
Oh God, all the puppies. Yeah. All the puppies. Yeah,
it's just awful.
All right, guys, why don't you check us out on social media where we are talking about all the hijinks that we're getting up to. Why don't you guys? So on Facebook and Twitter, it's at 12pointsUSA. You could hit us up on email. It's 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Check out our website, 12pointsfromamerica.com. If you are following us on your favorite podcast listening program, spelled with the two M's
with an
and
M-M-E.
An E. Yep. Feel free to give us a review, a rating. We'd love to hear any sort of comments or questions. We're all ears and eyes and other organs as well. Any parting words, folks, before we go to bed? Because it's freaking past midnight here. And
justice
I'm not...
for Jacob Karlberg.
Always.
Vote for a good song this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
There are a lot of them. Until next week, guys, shall we?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Anyway, I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now! All my love means all your love.
I was thinking you were going to sing it to the tune of Where Your Love.
All my love.
Just can't wear your love.
Oh, that's right. That one.
So good.
All my love. Yes.